There was a word of knowledge about God wanting to heal someone who was experiencing hearing loss. At that time, I had a friend who I actually hadn't talked to in a while, but we kind of kept up with each other on Facebook. And she lived in North Carolina at the time. And I had been watching over the last couple of weeks. She had experienced this hearing loss out of nowhere and had kind of been sharing her story on Facebook and asking for prayer. So immediately she came to mind on that Sunday morning when I saw that word of knowledge. And so I wrote on her wall, June 14th, 2015, "This morning our church's prayer ministry team had a word of knowledge to pray for someone with hearing loss in their left ear. I stood in agreement for you, believing for complete restoration of hearing." That morning she had responded and she said, "Yes, amen, I receive it." And then this morning, I guess maybe thanks to Facebook time hop, she tagged me and said, "Lindsay, I forgot to update you 2 years ago. But my hearing was restored. I had 5% usable hearing then, and now I have 95% usable hearing." Isn't that awesome? She said, I said, "Praise God," and she said, "Yeah, it happened within a month." So thanks for the update 2 years later. But I just thought, you know, that's such a wink from heaven, knowing that today we're going to be talking about word of knowledge. I just thought that was such a confirmation from the Lord. So if you don't mind, let's just pray before we get started. Father, thank you so much for that wink this morning, that confirmation. Holy Spirit, we are so excited to partner with you in these gifts that you have given us. And we just say yes and amen to whatever you want to do tonight. We are so open to your agenda. And I just pray that you would just open our hearts and minds to what we're about to receive. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So before we get started, during this series, you're probably going to hear a few repetitive things, but we do that for the sake of people who might have missed the week before, but also it's just good. This is about learning and practice, so repetition and learning is very good. That's what the education experts tell us anyway, right, Liesl? Yeah. So some of the things I might open up with might sound like things you heard before. Actually, a lot of what I talk about you might have heard before, but just be open to receiving maybe something new, maybe hearing something you need to hear again. Before we dive in, I want to just bring up just a discipline, a very simple discipline that has helped me in functioning in these gifts. What I'm going to be sharing tonight is a little bit of my life, picking the fruit off my own life. I don't do well with just teaching theory and theology. It has to be something, too, that I can share from the stories of my own life. So there'll be some stories, some personal stories. We'll obviously be diving into scripture. And a simple discipline that I've learned as I function in these gifts is to first just take on a new mind. And what I mean by that, I think about, you know, obviously the verse many of us are familiar with in Romans 12 talks about, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And renewing your mind and taking on a new mind, what I want us to take on a new mind about is the term supernatural. Because often these gifts, not incorrectly, have been categorized as supernatural gifts. But we know that we are new creations in Christ. We've taken on a new nature. And wouldn't you agree that God's thinking is natural to God? We now have the mind of Christ, so we share in that thinking process, so now it should be natural to us. And so what I mean by that is supernatural doesn't mean it's an irrelevant term. Supernatural is a relevant term for those who are non-believers, but for believers, this is our new natural. So these gifts come naturally to believers. So that's just something as we begin to dive in. I'm going to be drinking a lot of water. My mouth always gets dry when I teach. I don't know why. But as we dive in, I want us to remind ourselves, this is natural. This is not a phenomenon. Because what happens sometimes when we categorize it as anything other than natural to us, as humans, obviously, we tend to avoid things that are unnatural to us. We tend to distance ourselves. It feels like something off there. It feels like something that only, you know, comes into my realm and my sphere every once in a while. But we walk in an upstairs narrative now. We walk in a new realm. So it's our new natural. This is normal to us as believers, and it's been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for the benefit of us, but the common good of all. Another thing that I want us to kind of, we'll just do really quick, I know a lot of you guys know this, and I don't mean to waste your time, but we've talked already about the categorization of gifts. We get asked that a lot because there's a lot of gifts mentioned. There's a lot of promises mentioned in the Bible. So some of the things we've already talked about a few weeks ago, but there's the grace gifts. that are given by Father God. Those are things like hospitality and leadership and administration and giving. Then there's the ascension gifts. They're also known as the fivefold ministry gifts. They're given by Lord Jesus. So that's apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And what we're covering is obviously the nine manifestation gifts, which is given by the Holy Spirit. All are administered by the Holy Spirit to us to function in, but they're given by different Godheads. And we're going to be spending time in the world of knowledge. So even the nine manifestation gifts are categorized into three sets. So we have the knowing gifts, which is wisdom, which we talked about last week with William. Knowledge, we're talking about tonight, discerning of spirits. Then there's the speaking gifts, which is tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues. Then there's the doing gifts, also known as the power gifts, which is faith, healing, and miracles. So let's take on a new mind. This is how we know by the Spirit, how we speak by the Spirit, and how we do by the Spirit daily. And the gifts work together. We mentioned this last week. The gifts are not boxed in by themselves. I think sometimes they have a tendency, especially if you're type A and a little bit organized like me, we like to put things in boxes, especially gifts. We like to wrap them and put a nice bow on them and say, this is the gift of knowledge over here, and this is the gift of wisdom. But often these gifts, because heaven is expansive and eternity is so broad, and God is so good and kind that these gifts don't work necessarily one by one, but often they are used together. So for instance, when there's a word of knowledge that comes forth, often it's followed by a gift of wisdom. The knowing is the what, the wisdom is the how. What do I mean by that? Well, let's think about Noah for a second. Noah had a word of knowledge. There's going to be a flood. Okay, good to know. He also got a word of wisdom, build an ark. Really helpful to know when a flood is coming. And this is important as we practice too, because often when we function in a word of knowledge, it doesn't really always make sense unless we know what to do with it. Right? So we get a word of knowledge for someone and it might not make sense or it might feel almost incomplete. Always, always, always ask the Lord for more. Go deeper. I think when I first started like functioning in these gifts, I didn't know to ask for more. And so I'd get something and it would be like, so, you know, I would just know that I know that it was from the Lord and I would just share it, but there would be no real, it's not helpful, especially when you're sharing with a person, if it's just a picture of something, for instance, you know, like I saw you and you were sitting in a tree. And that's all I got. You know, it's like the Lord is, he wants to layer in that word. So always ask for more. So if you get something, that's why journaling is really important, writing it down. You know, sometimes it's not necessary to give the word of knowledge in the moment. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But always ask for wisdom when you get a word of knowledge. Ask for wisdom always, right? Because the wisdom is the principal thing. And the beauty of it is that the word of God says, anyone who lacks wisdom, the Lord will give it liberally. So we can always ask for wisdom. So this is what we're going to cover tonight. We're going to cover word of knowledge. What is it? Who is it for? How do I get it? What do I use it for? And how do I know that I know? I think when we talk about the gifts, especially word of knowledge, prophecy, discerning of spirits, prophecy and discerning of spirits we'll be covering in the weeks ahead. But the question we often get is, well, how do I know that I know? Lord, is that you? So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So let's cover what is it. And I've tried to get the most simple definition. So don't, you know, it's not a full, comprehensive, beautifully poetic paragraph for the sake of what we're doing tonight. And if you need to ever just in your head say, what is a word of knowledge? This is just a very simple definition. It is insight given by the Holy Spirit that helps people. Doesn't get much simpler than that, but that's really what it is. At the core, when you strip everything away, a word of knowledge is insight given by the Holy Spirit that helps people. Now, the term gift of knowledge or word of knowledge is only mentioned once in Scripture, and that's a passage that we've already been covering a lot over the last 2 weeks, and we'll be covering it throughout this entire series because that's where it lists the gifts, but that's 1 Corinthians 12. And even though it's only mentioned once, there are a lot of different examples, both in Old Testament and New Testament, of the word of knowledge and people functioning in that. So I already mentioned Noah. Elisha's one where there's several examples, if you study Elisha's life, where he operated in the word of knowledge, which makes sense for a prophet. But in 2 Kings 6, basically the story, I'll just give you the summary. The king of Israel was at war, what's new, and the enemy's camp had set up at a place. That's what the Bible says. It's set up at that place, and Elisha got a word of knowledge that the enemy's camp was set up at that place, and he told the king of Israel, don't go to that place. You can go anywhere, just don't go to that place. So that's kind of a very rough summary of what happened with Elisha and the king of Israel in 2 Kings 6. And then Samuel, another prophet, both located and anointed Saul and David to be king through word of knowledge. He knew where to find them, and he knew to anoint them by word of knowledge. Jesus at the well with the woman of Samaria, he had a word of knowledge. He said, her testimony was, this man has known everything I have ever done. That was, can you imagine if that was your testimony? You got stood up on Sunday and you said, I don't know, I was at the mall and this guy came up and he told me everything that I've ever done. That was her testimony. We'll talk a little bit more about that story because there's a lot of beauty in that story. And then Ananias went to Saul, Paul, to heal him of blindness and set him on his journey to a whole new pathway of ministry. And, you know, we tend to read, especially if you've been in church for any amount of time, we tend to just kind of gloss over those stories. But, like, Selah, let's think about it for a second. Like, what if you got a word of knowledge on not only where to find the leader of ISIS, but heal him of blindness and set him into ministry to the Gentiles? That's essentially what was happening. Paul was a terrorist as far as early day Christians was concerned. So Ananias had to know that he knew that it was God. I mean, that's a bit, it wasn't just like, okay, yeah, I'll go find this Saul guy. I mean, it's like, wait, Saul? You mean the Saul that's killing us off brutally? You want me to find him? And you don't want me to take like an AK-47 to him, but you want me to like heal him and set him into ministry? So just like think about the power of having a word of knowledge and the power of functioning in that gift. This is not a light thing. This was setting people free. Can you imagine if Ananias didn't go? What if we didn't have Paul? I know the Lord would have used someone else, obviously, maybe even to minister to Paul, but just think about his story and Ananias' place in that story. So it's insight given by the Holy Spirit that helps people. What's happening when we function in the gift of knowledge is we are getting a piece of God's all knowledge, and we're utilizing it. We're not getting all the knowledge, but we're getting a piece of it, and we're utilizing it to edify, to build up, and to strengthen. And like all the gifts, the word of knowledge is meant to bring life and to invite people into new possibilities. Invite yourself into new possibilities and invite others into new possibilities. Which I am about the new possibilities business. That is what stirs me up. When I think about functioning in the gifts, it's not about showing off, it's not about performance, but the idea of inviting people into new realities and new possibilities, like sign me up for that. And again, we talk about a lot about functioning in the gifts as a ministry to others, but also these gifts are a ministry to ourselves. We eat of this fruit. Word of knowledge often helps the individual just as much as it's helping. So be open to getting words of knowledge that help you as well, that are for you, that bring life to you and open up your world into new possibilities. So what is it not? Obviously, it's not fortune telling. We're not predicting things. We're not setting people into a future based on false spirits, evil spirits, or wickedness. It's not assumption or guesswork. So we're not guessing. We're not assuming things based on, well, I know a little bit about your life here, so this would maybe make sense if maybe you were dealing with that. It's not that at all. We're not assuming and we're not guessing. It's not proof of spiritual maturity. Paul was addressing, when he addressed the Corinthians, it was really, the letters to the Corinthians were letters of correction, because things were a little bit off, or a lot off, especially by today's standards. The things that they were doing, the meetings that they were holding, the way that they were worshiping, there was a lot of things that he was correcting, and he calls them infants. But yet he speaks to them about functioning in the gifts, and there's no mention of you needing to mature to function in the gifts. He talks about good governance, he talks about ways to do that, but he's not talking about necessarily spiritual maturity. So this is not proof of someone's spiritual maturity. So set yourself free of being uber impressed if someone is functioning in these gifts. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not celebrities. We're not elites. We don't play that game. We're family. This is not meant to lord over people. They already have a Lord Jesus. They don't need you. This is to help people. I just want to reiterate that as much as I possibly can, that we all can function in this. The minute you come to Christ, the minute you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are fully empowered to function in these gifts. And if people are functioning in these gifts, praise God, we love them, but it's not a sign of their maturity. It's not received through human mechanisms, so it's not received through ways that we would typically get human knowledge. So think academics or imagination or any type of human learning. That's not what the word of knowledge is about. This is supernatural to the world, natural to us. It's upstairs. It comes from heaven. Knowledge. It comes from God's all knowledge. And then one point I just want to touch on, it might seem very obvious, but it will never, and none of these gifts, will never violate Scripture. And I know that seems really like a no-brainer, but think about this for a minute. Jesus told the Pharisees that you find yourselves in error because you don't, two things, know the word of God, and you don't know the power of God. And we need to become familiar with both, obviously. And one thing we need to become familiar with when we get into the word of God and we understand just, again, the expansiveness of God's power is that word of knowledge and these gifts are not just limited to our minds or our knowing. Think about this. A word of knowledge can inform your will. Have you ever just had almost this, didn't make sense in the, you know, present, just like, let's just go and do this thing, you know, just this thing like rise up in your spirit? That could be a word of knowledge informing your will. Or what about your emotions? Have you ever just had deep compassion, just out of the ordinary, no real storyline to even get empathetic about? You just maybe come across a stranger on the street and you just felt just this welling of compassion. It happened to Jesus. He looked at the masses. He got a word of knowledge for the group and he had compassion. And why I want to focus on just for a quick second of why it will never violate Scripture is because what I'm observing happening in our generation, and when I say my generation, the way that I define generation is anyone living and breathing. So you're all my generation, right? Because we're in this together. Generations in a generation for such a time as this. And so in our generation, what I'm observing is I think there's a lot of believers, people with good hearts, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are getting words of knowledge that are informing their emotions with deep compassion for the lost, people who are in error, people who may call themselves believers, but they are living in bondage and living in lifestyles of sin. And because there's not this need, this asking for wisdom or just this knowledge of what's happening or how to function correctly, they are in turn taking that compassion as a way of accepting sin, if that makes sense. And so what I think is happening is it's not that it's not necessarily of God, that deep compassion, that yearning for the lost. I think about especially people who have that, you know, evangelic or the gift of being an evangelist. There's just such a compassion and word of knowledge often informing their emotion towards people. But without the wisdom on what to do with that compassion, we are in error because we're not knowing the word of God, knowing what the Bible says about sin, and we're not understanding the power of God, understanding that God is, in fact, big enough to break off every single sin off of somebody's life, no matter how deep, no matter how wide, no matter how far generationally the sin goes back, no matter what has caused the sin, no matter what has kept the sin, God is big enough to break it. And so there's not a true invitation for people to come to freedom. So does that make sense? So we need to be careful when we are gathering words of knowledge, whether it's through our will, through our emotions, through our mind, any of those facets, that we are asking for wisdom on what to do with this. And being aware of that. And I think about Jesus because Jesus, talking about the woman at the well, there's several examples of Jesus having compassion on people who are lost and dead in their sin. And he never ignored the sin. Jesus never did. When he's with the woman at the well, he doesn't take the sin as a way of lording condemnation over her. I think what might have happened, and I don't need to read into the story much because it's already such a beautiful story on its own, but I bet that woman had been in hiding for a while. Not that people didn't know, but just the sense of, you know, when there's just something not right with your life and you just feel the need to just, you don't want to be known. You don't want to be known. You don't want people to know. You don't want to be acknowledged. She needed to know that Jesus knew, because what he presented to her after that was a way to freedom. And she needed to know that that freedom was real, that offer of salvation was authentic. The fact that she went out and said, this man has told me everything that I have ever done, we could add, and still offered me salvation. I wasn't too far gone. If he had not exposed that, and the wrong thinking that she was a part of in that story of the woman at the well, I think she would have walked away thinking, well, if he only knew. That wasn't really an offer for salvation. That wasn't. Does that make sense? There was a need for it. not exposure for exposure's sake. It was for her. It was for her freedom. We also, another a woman caught in adultery, you know, brought, I love this story, brought to Jesus. People are about to stone her. Jesus is cool, calm, and collected, like always, like what an anchor. And of course, we know the story. He says, he who is out of sin cast the first stone. I think there was obviously word of knowledge happening, but there was also wisdom on what to do. Jesus was functioning in the gift of wisdom, how to address it. But it's such a beautiful picture because when the gifts are in function, submitted to the Father, when there's a real sense of knowing what the word says, Jesus knew what the scripture says. Jesus knew the law, but Jesus knew who he was as well. And he also knew the power of God. And here's what's really interesting about that story. Jesus released her of the death sentence that sin consequently brings to all of us, like he did with us, released us from the death sentence of sin. And then he said, and go and sin no more. He didn't ignore the sin. He didn't say, it's okay for you to continue to live in your sin. And here's what's interesting. Jesus wouldn't have said that if it had not been possible for her to do. He doesn't call us to things that he has not equipped us to walk in. And so again, as we're ministering to others, as we see all the news headlines, as things are happening in our world so quickly and massively broadcast, as we're talking to individuals and having face-to-face conversation with people that we love and dearly, maybe people we don't know at all, but we just have a deep sense of compassion that the Lord is authoring in our lives through this gift, we need to remember to ask for wisdom on how to administer that. How do I wisely and effectively love people to freedom? How do I bring life to them? How do I open up their world to new possibilities? It's possible, not by the words you say, by your 12-step program, or anything like that, but by the power of Jesus. So, that's enough of that. Okay, so who is it for? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 that it is given to all believers for the common good of all. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, it talks about there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them, all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the good of all. So it's for the believers to function in, it's for the believers to partake in, but it's also for the common good of all. How do we get it? Well, to receive the Holy Spirit's gifts, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. Can't have his gifts and be like, but you can stay over there, Holy Spirit. It's a really easy thing. It's a beautiful thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if anyone wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit who hasn't been, we will have a time for that after the teaching. But it's easy. We must receive the Spirit in order to receive his gifts. And the good news is that all these gifts, the minute you come to Christ and you're baptized in the Spirit, are in you, because the Holy Spirit's in you. And so they don't come and go. This isn't something where it's like, well, I'm having a really good day. I had my quiet time. I read some scriptures. I put some worship music on, so I feel like now I can flow. It's in you every day. The minute you wake up, it's something that you just can function in. In order to get them, the scripture talks about how we must eagerly desire them, because the gifts are given, period. You're not waiting for the gifts to be given. They have been given already. But we have to be aware and desire them, right? The gift can just stay under the tree Christmas morning, but you got to unwrap it. You got to be willing to take it, receive it. So the gifts, but it's given. It's yours. Your name is on it. So the gifts are already given. You're not waiting for the gifts to be given to you. You have to eagerly desire them in order to function in them. It's interesting because we talked a little bit about eagerly desiring. We talked a little bit about mature. I have this interesting story. So I was meeting with just a kind of a variety of people that came from different traditions and different streams. And we had a prayer night and there was a little bit of worship happening. And we were praying over some specific things in our culture, in our nation. That was kind of what the meeting was about. And as things were kind of wrapping up, the guy that was leading it said, you know, I don't know why I feel this way, but I just feel like we need to like go one by one and pray for each other. Now, I would love to say that I was like upstairs Lindsay in that moment. I was like, yes, let's pray for everyone. There was probably like 15 or 16 people there. But the downstairs Lindsay in my mind responded, this is going to take 4 hours for us to get through everyone. And this isn't like a Northlands like prayer service where we're going to sit and like wait on the Lord and get prophetic words. Like everyone's from different streams. So it's really just prayer, which isn't just prayer, you know what I mean? But it's we're going to be praying over people. So I'm in that mode, you know, where I'm just going to pray for people. I'm not even thinking about, well, let me get a prophetic word, because, you know, I don't want to weird people out, and we want to be gracious with people. We don't want to give them something that they don't want. So we enter into prayer, and immediately I just kind of felt a playful nudge of the Holy Spirit, and he said, look, but there's a way we can do this that isn't going to freak people out, okay? So he gave me a verse for the first guy that we were praying for. And so then I had the wisdom of not being like, you know, I have this prophetic word, and this is what prophecy is, and maybe some of you guys don't believe this, but let me give you a quick 3-point sermon on prophecy before I give the word. No, I just said, as we were praying for you, the scripture rose up in my heart, and I just would love to share it with you. And it was a scripture about, surely we'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of, I would have lost heart unless I'd seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I just said, you know, what's really cool about the psalmist is that they, you know, because, you know, David and the different people who wrote psalms, is they experienced the different characters of God and wrote often about the different characters of God. And what I feel when I read this scripture is I just sense that the Lord wants to invite you into a season where he shows you that he's a good God. That was it. Not weird, not, and he was very appreciative. It wasn't like he was emotional or anything, but he said, oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And then we prayed for the next person. And somebody, not me, somebody on the other side of the room said, I have a scripture I'd like to share to this person. And so they shared this verse, and the guy said, oh my gosh, that's a scripture about endurance, and I just feel like the word endurance just stood out, and the scripture stood out. And then we started talking to the next person, and then three people had something for that person. And these are people from all different streams. And so we get through it starts getting where people are obviously touched, because people are starting to give words of what they would call words of affirmation. You know, I see this in you, discerning of spirits. You know, they don't have language for it, but they're sensing it. They're eagerly desiring to minister and function. They don't even know what it is. It's not a sign of maturity. It's not a sign necessarily of knowing exactly what you're doing. That's how kind the Holy Spirit is. If you're open to it, he'll minister and partner right along with you, even if you don't exactly know all the terms and all the 3-point sermons of each gift. And so this is happening, and so we get towards the end of, you know, the 15 people, and one of the guys is talking to my friend Hannah, and he said, Hannah, I just want to encourage you. This was the guy that she shared a word about endurance, and he said, your empathetic sensitivity to how you see people, because she was sharing, Hannah's open to these things, but obviously in wisdom too, she was sharing things as well. And she goes, well, it's very interesting. And I didn't know at the time where kind of Hannah was with this. She won't mind me sharing the story. She says, it's interesting. She says, for a while I felt like I've been called to a prophetic ministry. And I was telling my friend 2 weeks ago that if this is of the Lord, I asked him to give me opportunities to do this. I had no idea that's what was going on with Hannah. And she had this whole night of opportunity where we were sharing. And then one of the guys goes, you know, it's interesting because I've always been a little bit weary of people who prophesy because I've never seen it like this. It's always been doom and gloom and, you know, this nation's going to hell. And he's like, I didn't know that. We're talking now because we've all, like, you know, wept with each other and shared words and things like that. So we're all, like, very vulnerable. And he says, it's like we're scared of the Holy Spirit or something. Like, just kind of makes a statement. And it just opened up this conversation. So then There's no teaching still. There's no me standing up and being like, this is what's happening. There just wasn't wisdom in that. It wasn't needed. What needed to happen is just people to just, the Holy Spirit was ministering to people individually. They were coming up with their own conclusions. The Holy Spirit was teaching them. So we get to the last guy, and the guy who didn't even have the word for prophecy, he just called it empathetic sensitivity, says, I don't know why, but the word patience keeps coming to mind. And I just sense that the Lord is asking you to partner with him in patience. And this guy breaks down. This guy is a tough guy, the guy that he's speaking to. Tough guy, loves the Lord, but not a weepy guy at all. And he said, just last night, my wife and I were talking about the season of life we're in. Everything has been so difficult and so hard. And she told me, I feel like we need to be patient. I feel like the Lord is asking us to be patient. This is a guy that did not even know what he was doing necessarily. He didn't know what the term was, but he eagerly desired it. He wanted to be a part of what the Holy Spirit was doing that night, and people were ministered to. And the funny thing is, at the end of the night, it had been 4 hours. We went, it felt like 30 minutes, but it had been 4 hours. The Holy Spirit was like, yeah, okay, you're gonna play next time. We can do this. So we must eagerly desire them. I hope that frees us up a little bit, because I think often we put so much pressure on ourselves to know it all, to be sure we've got all of our ducks in a row. And though there's wisdom in making sure that you continue to learn, not just function, but obviously know the word and the power, don't let that stop you from beginning. That's what we're going to be doing tonight in practice. So what do we use it for? The scripture is very clear over and over again that the gifts are used to edify, to build up, and to strengthen. And our willingness and availability to partner with the Holy Spirit and function in any of his gifts should be motivated by wanting to encourage and build people up. So we should not be motivated by wanting to look cool, to act cool. Bless you. We shouldn't be motivated by wanting the mic, wanting to be on stage, wanting to be the person. Here's what's interesting about that night, just as a side note of wisdom. I this has never happened to me before, but that night I had... And honestly, I had a word for everyone in that room. I did not share them all. Because if I had, it would have become the Lindsay show. There's no glory to God in that. And so I shared a few, but when people started jumping in, like, there wasn't a need for me. It was cool. It was just a wink from heaven, like, you can do this. Like, you can read everyone in the room. You can discern spirits. Like, that's awesome. But that was for me. I didn't need to, like, stand up and start having a word for everyone. Does that make sense? So... be open to functioning, be open to the wisdom in how to function, and know that sometimes these words come just for you. We often talk about this when we teach on prophecy, but when we talk to people who are in the office of, you know, their office prophets, oftentimes they're not sharing more than maybe 30 or 40% of what they actually see. And you might wonder, well, why is that? But the Lord is that kind. He wants to partner with us individually. And sometimes he just tells us stuff just so, hey, it's almost like you get to a point with the Lord in your relationship where it's like you just catch each other's eye across the room. Like, just be aware. That's going on. It's not for exposure. It's not for the need to be seen or heard necessarily all the time. It's just the Lord saying, you know, because the gifts are given. You're always going to have the gift. You can know whenever you want, whenever you eagerly desire. But we often aren't necessarily in that mode. But we can get in that mode. And office people, people who sit in the office of prophet, for instance, are in that mode a lot. So they're used for the good of all. And I have some scriptures just that just kind of prove that what I'm saying is theologically sound. but they're for the common good, so the church may be built up, and we must strive to excel in building up the church. They're also to be used for when there is a lack of knowledge. If I can say that simply enough. When there's a lack of knowledge, when there's a need for knowledge, use the word of knowledge. And you might be saying, well, there's lots of examples in the Bible about the word of knowledge and word of prophecy and all of the gifts really being used to correct and direct. That's true. They can be used for correction and direction. But good governance tells us, and the Bible tells us, that's really for people who sit in the office of prophet to do. For the sake of tonight, and I know some of us sitting in the room sit in that office, that's fine, but for the sake of the night, tonight, for tonight's practice, we are focusing on edifying, strengthening, and encouraging. We are not going to be correcting or directing people. Don't tell people they're going to be moving. Don't match people up for marriage. Don't expose sin. We're going to be edifying. We're going to be strengthening. We're going to be bringing life and opening people up to new possibilities. Here's something that's interesting as I was kind of going through this teaching, and every time I kind of put together something like this, the Lord is obviously so kind, so there's so much more that he just opened. You think you kind of, not that I thought that I knew it all, but you think you kind of know the basics, and then he says, he kind of like leads you in this, and he reminded me of a story that happened a while ago, and so the point of the story is, I'm realizing more and more as I walk with God that it's not a valid excuse to not know. And what I mean by that is, I don't want to put pressure on people, I don't want to put condemnation, but I mean by that is we get to a point in our walk with the Lord that it's just not a valid excuse to not function in these gifts. It's not a valid excuse to be like, well, I just don't know, and then not like dive deep with the Lord or partner with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So one of the stories I have from a while ago is, you know, another thing I would say before I dive into the story is, let's not wait for the stakes to be high to start practicing these gifts. So one of those stories where the stakes was high for me is, for a couple years now, I've led different teams. And there was a team I was leading, and there was a particular member on this team. And something came up, a situation they found themselves in that was really, that could have been grounds for dismissal, basically could have been grounds for firing. And the stakes are high when you hold someone's livelihood in your hands. Like, it's fun, and it's fun to operate in these gifts when we're building up, strengthening, and, you know, all those, you know, edifying people. But when we need a word of knowledge to know if we're making the right call in leading people, when people are involved and families are involved. So this person, I found themselves in a situation that was up for dismissal, and I'll spare you the details, but basically decision was mine, whether to keep them or fire them. And the meeting was on the calendar, and it was about an hour away, and I just remember sitting at my desk so desperate to know what to do. I had no idea. When I first found out the details of the situation, my instinct was to draw my sword. I was like, we will not be having that, you know, just like, you know, just buck up. And but it didn't feel like my will was being informed by heaven when that happened. It just felt downstairs. So I felt like I needed to pray about it, even though maybe the facts seemed very cut and dry, you know, that's never really the truth. And so I began to like dive in a little bit more, and different facts were coming up, and so it really came down to, like, I'm obviously not going to find out for sure what happened, but I need to know what to do. So I remember sitting at my desk and just being like, Lord, I need to know. I think that was, like, it was like, that was my prayer. It was not articulate at all. I need to know. And when you ask a prayer like that, you could stress out about the timing of when the answer to that prayer is going to happen, or you can just rest that something's going to be done. I would love to tell you that I, in faith, just gave it to the Lord and lived the next hour in peace and rest, but that is not what happened. I've learned a lot since then, but that's not what happened in the moment. And so for probably a good 45 minutes, I am, like, stressing out because I don't know. And when we stress out, like, you know, we just think all kinds of things. Just the noise level of the frustrations just began to grow and grow and grow. And so about 15 minutes before the meeting, I just felt a prompting to rise above the noise, and which we can only do when we choose to take an upstairs narrative. So I had to kind of rid myself of all the downstairs stuff. And so in the last, like, 10 minutes of sitting at my desk, I just felt like the Holy Spirit prompted and said, ask who this person is in heaven. Just ask me who this person is. I want to tell you, but I need you to ask me who this person is. And I said, okay, who is this person in heaven? And the Lord began to show me this person in heaven. Warrior. This person's a fighter. And then the Lord began to show me ways that the enemy had taken advantage of this identity, had taken advantage of this person and utilized this identity in them as a fighter and warrior to fight for the wrong things, to die on the wrong hills. And I felt like the Lord told me we need to show grace in this situation. Let it go, but tell them why you're letting it go. Be honest. Which in a work situation can be really risky when you're talking about things of the Spirit, but I still do work in a faith-based organization, work with Christians. So at the time I was, you know, I knew he was a believer. So I was like, okay. And so the person came in and didn't look good. Like, he knew that he could be fired. And I just said, you know, I don't know what all the facts are. I don't need to know. What I do know is how heaven sees you. And I shared with him, and I shared that what the Lord was calling me to do as a leader in that moment was to remind him that though the Lord has called him to fight for certain things, the Lord is going to fight for him. And in this situation, the Lord was fighting for him, cheering him on. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And here's what's really cool. The next couple months, because, you know, it's like, but then you've got to, like, carry it out, right? Because it's great that you left someone off, but there needs to be wisdom. So we talked about some wisdom points and what the next steps would be and kind of how the monitoring would go and all of that stuff, downstairs and upstairs stuff. And the next couple of months, because you in those situations, if you're a boss, it's like, it's not just the person involved, but it's the team, because they know. So how are we going to inform the team? I needed wisdom on how I was going to do that without exposing this person. And then the organization's at stake. When you're working with people that might be at risk, you're putting your organization at stake. So there was a lot on the line, not just this guy's livelihood, but the company as well and the team. The next couple of months, this guy just came alive. And there were innovation that I can only explain coming from heaven. And he really took our team in that season to the next level. So it was really just a beautiful testimony. But I remember the moment of it, the stakes being very high. And I remember thinking, I wish we did this more often, Lord. So don't wait for the stakes to be high. That's why tonight is such a good night to practice. And honestly, utilizing these gifts in your daily life versus waiting for the stakes to be high, because it could have been a lot more of a peaceful process, at least for me anyway. So how do I know that I know? This is a very common question. You know, it says in the scripture that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And the only way that I can explain without frustrating you more by saying, well, you just know, there's just, you just know when you're knower, is to give you kind of a just description of, you know, Bruce and I's relationship. Like, my husband and I have been married for 6 years, been together for 8. We spend a lot of time together. We have a lot of conversation together, talk often. I know Bruce's voice. If Bruce calls me on the phone, I don't even need to look at the ringer. If he says, hey, I know exactly who it is. Our relationship has gotten so close and intimate that not only do I just know the sound of his voice, but I know the tone of his voice. I know that when he says things a certain way, that that means something. I know when there's a level of volume to his voice, or if he whispers something, what that means. And so the only way that I can really encourage you, and hopefully not frustrate you further and being like, you just know, is to encourage you to spend time with the Lord. Because the only way that we are going to be able to recognize his voice fully and get really comfortable and it get really natural to us, be like, that was the Lord, is to spend time with him and get to know his voice. So I can't really add to that except to say, spend time with the Lord, get to know his voice, practice hearing from him, take some risk. He's kind and gracious, and he will make sure to lead you in peace in that. So we are going to take a time of practice, but before we do, and we're going to take a little bit of break, does anyone have any questions about the word of knowledge? I know last week the questions came a little bit up, which is totally fine. They came up in the groups as we started to practice. People had questions, which that's fine too if questions come up after this. Yes.
Situations, always ask the Lord, is this something I need to share?
Yes,
now?
Yes. My advice for life and leadership is always ask the Lord, what are you requiring of me in this? For anything, but especially functioning in the gifts. Because often it's okay not to share. Don't let that hold you back from ever sharing. But it's good to be wise and asking the Lord, do I share this? Because sometimes there's been words that I've gotten for people. It just didn't feel right in maybe the moment or maybe the season of life to share it. But what was interesting is that the Lord will make sure that his word comes forth. So he'll bring it to remembrance again. So there's a couple words that I've had for people that I've just sat on for months. And sometimes years, we as a family practice this by doing prophetic parties for our birthdays. And often the Lord might give me, that's why journaling is so important. We sit and wait in the Lord for people and I'll write something down, but it just doesn't feel, it just doesn't seem to go with maybe other things I'm getting, or it just doesn't, I don't feel the sense of release. I don't know how else to explain it. But the Lord will bring me back to that the next year for the person. And there's been build, and it makes more sense in that season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Anyone else? Yeah. You got it. We got to hear you, Anthony. This is going to be good.
The first thing you hear sometimes or see sometimes is not to be revealed, right? So it's just like you kind of hold back. I'm just kind of adding what you've already added. You know, and you kind of go deeper with the Lord in that and ask him to show you what he wants to do, because you might see something that's not edifying and comforting and exhorting at first glance, but then the Lord will take you deeper into that. I don't know.
Absolutely. One example, I don't know if Dad shared it 2 weeks ago, but you know, there was a situation where a lady came up to, do you mind if I share this story? A lady came up to him at church and said, like, I've got this word for this person, but it's a little weird. I'm not comfortable sharing it, but I feel like I need to share, you know, just ask. He was an elder at the time. She was asking for help on how do we govern, how we lead this. And the word was about a cancer diagnosis. And the encouragement in it was that she was going to be okay. The situation at the time was she hadn't been diagnosed with cancer yet. So to share it in that moment would have just, so he said, why don't we do this? This is wisdom talking. Why don't you write this down in a letter? We'll date it. We'll both sign it. I'll sign it as a witness that we signed it on this date. And just hold on to it and wait for when the Lord says it's the right time. And later, what, months later? Fairly, she was diagnosed. And so she was diagnosed, but this lady had a dated letter from the Lord that said it's going to be okay. So that's a situation where you might say, this just doesn't seem right. There's obviously even an encouraging part in it, like it's going to be okay, but like they're not even diagnosed. So the Lord is very creative. And, you know, when in doubt, we're in partnership together too. So, and that's why we have elders, we have deacons, we have people that we can. So if you're not sure, go to one of the elders and deacons and ask. Yeah. What was that, Liesl? Just speak up a little bit.
I'm also sick. So what advice would you give for someone, either like while you're practicing, either for receiving or giving, for the interpretation of a word of knowledge? Like if they get a picture or something, how loosely should they hold that interpretation? Like, you know, if I saw a picture of you as a warrior, should I try and put the whole picture together in my head before I give it to you?
Yeah.
Or what advice do you have for that?
Yeah, so the advice is what Anthony said. Let's ask for more. Not everything is literal, obviously. So it's a good point. Like, just because you see a picture of a tree, think about what does the tree represent? Life, growth, a planting, firm foundation, rooted, those types of things. And we begin to, this is a dialogue with the Holy Spirit that we start. So don't be afraid to ask for more if a picture doesn't make sense, or don't just take it at face value, because often there's depth what the picture that the Lord, he doesn't want you to just walk up to some person and be like, I saw a tree, do with it what you will. And maybe the Lord will be, maybe he'll bring something else and another confirmation. So it's not like it goes wasted, but how much cooler is it than when you can really encourage someone with the interpretation of what that picture is? Yes.
I do want to add to that, however, because I know, and this is speaking personally for me, for years, I would operate where I would get the word or a word or a couple words, and I would wait trying to package it because I'm trying to see, Lord, what else? Because it really doesn't make sense to me yet. And so I'm asking the Lord, okay, Lord, I need this to make sense so I can deliver it in a sensible way. And I think for me, what I found happen is that I would wait. Sometimes I would not deliver the word because it didn't make sense to me. And so gradually, I stepped out in boldness and just said, you know what? The Lord is giving me this word. And this is what started happening now. As soon as I opened my mouth and said, this is what the Lord is telling me. He's giving me this word. It just starts spilling and spilling. He begins to reveal, and he just starts giving me everything. And he says to me, Carly, you're trying to package what I'm giving you, and that's not how I want to release the word to you. I want you to trust me with the little that I'm giving you. Trust me with that word or that phrase. You may not understand it, but the person will understand. And as soon as I begin to speak, he just begins to flow and just flow and just flow. So I would say that it's okay. Yes, always. I always say, Lord, what are you saying? What does this mean? But I found that I have to be very careful that I don't stand there questioning the Lord the whole time, asking, what are you saying? What are you doing? And then oftentimes leave being disobedient, not giving that word because I'm trying to package it Carlene's way, waiting for the rest when he's saying, no, start with what I'm giving you, and I will give you the rest when you step out in obedience.
Yeah, that's a great point, Carlene. I'm glad you brought that up. And why practice is important. because what we do with practice is we learn those types of things. And just like we're all unique, the Lord partners with us uniquely. And so you'll find that often, though there's differences in how someone might deliver, you know, like some people are just super cool, calm, and collected. Other people sometimes feel the emotion, you know, there's when people give different delivery style. It's not right or wrong, it's just that the Lord partners with us individually and all very uniquely. And so for Carlene, for any of you, it might be something where often you find you have to start sharing. It's like a step of faith in order for the rest to come. Some of you might journal. I've gotten words that have been very precious where the person just journaled it and handed it to me. That was just the way that they partnered with the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of diversity in the way that we deliver these gifts. And we'll find that though the Lord will do it very differently at different times, when we practice, we get very used and comfortable and it becomes very natural. Like, well, I know that this is very, and what we're waiting for, Carlene, is that release, right? So it's disobedient if we feel the release, like we're supposed to do this and we don't do it. And often, you'll know whether, even if it's just a word, you'll know if there's a release to share it or not. And what was really cool that happened in our group, I don't know if you mind me sharing just kind of what you shared with me, because I loved the way that you did it. I felt like it was so wise. There was a word that was shared, and there wasn't quite full understanding on what it meant, but the prompt was, I just felt like I needed to share with you. I asked for more. This is what I got. So maybe it's something you should pray into. And I loved that. I just loved the prompt of, you know, of just being honest and saying, I don't actually know what this all means. This is how far I got as we were praying. But if it's just something you should pray towards. So that was, it gave me something to now be responsible for and go take and pray into. And so those are ways, too, that if you're not sure, there's wise ways in just helping people along with these gifts and not leaving them hanging. Any other questions?
I was once given a prophetic word by someone, not in the church here, but, and some of it did upset me. So what do you do when you're given a prophetic word that doesn't edify you and upsets you? What do you do with the information?
Absolutely. 1 Thessalonians says, test everything. And so we have a responsibility when we receive words to go to the Lord on our own behalf and say, Lord, is this something that I need to take on? Or is it something I need to let go? So I don't know if you have anything to add.
I was going to ask you to just touch base.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything is good to test everything. Don't just take it at face value. The Lord is very jealous over our identities. And so he will be very faithful when we take things to him and say, is this of you? Is this something I need to correct? Is this something I need to grow in? He'll give us a clear picture of. And if there's an upset, you know, it's not that some words won't necessarily upset us initially, but if we go to the Lord, he'll release us of that if we don't need to take it on. That's for us to take to the Lord. Because sometimes people say things and they don't even mean to say it the way they do, or they say it a certain way, or, you know, and I think we do well, especially when we're, sorry, this mic. I think we do well when we are, when we're working with brothers and sisters in Christ, to assume that they have good hearts is just a good way for us to relate to each other. I know that not everyone has good hearts, but to start from that point will really help us protect ourselves from offense, because we're all growing in this, right? And sometimes people are just off. They don't mean to be off. If they mean to be off, let the Lord deal with them. And the Lord will deal with them. But start from a place of brothers and sisters in Christ have good hearts. And so it's my responsibility when someone says something to me that throws me off to take it to the Lord and have him release me of it or bring me further into maybe an area of growth. Anything else? Okay, so we're going to take like a 5-minute just stretch break, bathroom break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to break into groups and we're going to practice.